If you would, tonight open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 15. Isaiah, chapter number 15, if you would. And chapter 16, chapter 15 go hand in hand as dealing with the burden of Moab. And I'm just going to kind of highlight it tonight. I'm not going to get verse by verse or anything like that tonight. I just want to kind of highlight it to familiarize us with a little bit about Moab and what's taking place in Moab. And this is, of course, a burden that Isaiah had. We talked about that in chapter 13. There was nine different burdens that's mentioned. Chapter 13 was the first burden, was the burden of Babylon. And we talked about that and how God was going to send judgment to Babylon and how he's going to use the Assyrian army to do that. And then we looked at chapter 14 and seen all the destruction that was going to come upon Babylon and how God was going to use the Assyrian army and do those things. And then judgment was coming to the Assyrians. And chapter 15 and chapter 16 dealing with Moab. I want to try to just highlight again, as I said, some things about Moab. I don't know if you know much about Moab, and if you just reading through these verses of Scripture, not knowing anything about Moab and what's going on, it really doesn't mean a whole lot to you. So I want to try to help us tonight as we study the book of Isaiah, and I want us to get to as much as we can from this study. And I know we talked a lot about judgment, but also see in this judgment where God gives warnings. Amen. God always sends a warning before he sends judgment. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. If you study the Bible and look at the judgment that God sends, you think that God's not a merciful God. He's just judging people. And a lot of people look at our Bible that way and said our God's he's a cruel God. He's a mean God. And he is not a mean God. He's not a cruel God. He's a just God. Amen. And he allows room for repentance, and allows time for repentance. And we'll see that here in these chapters, chapter 15 and chapter 16, that God allows Moab time to change and gives them warning after warning to repent of their sin and change from their wicked ways, turn from that. But let me share with you, first of all, now let's pray before we start. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us tonight to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the song we heard tonight. Thank you for your many blessings. And God, it had to be you, no doubt, that created all things. We believe that tonight. Lord, you are the great creator. Father, you created all things, the heavens, the earth, and all that's in them. And Lord, all that's in the seas themselves. And Lord, you are the creator. And Father, we worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, you'd open up our understanding. Lord, as we look at the precious word of God tonight, I pray, Lord, that we'd leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Charge us and challenge us, dear Father. We do pray tonight. Speak through these lips of clay, dear Father, I pray, and help me to be, Lord, the mouthpiece, the messenger, Lord, tonight that I need to be. And I pray your will be accomplished, your will be done. In Jesus' sweet, loving name we pray. Amen. Look in verse number 1, the Bible says, of course, they're the burden of Moab, and we are dealing with Moab. And you'll also continue that into chapter number 16 and dealing with the burden that Isaiah had with these different nations. There's nine neighboring nations around Israel, that around Jerusalem, that Isaiah had a burden for. And this is the second one of those. And Moab is the second of the nine burdens that he's speaking of. And I want to give you again tonight, I want to give you the definition of a burden. A burden is a heavy, weighty thing. It is a message concerning judgment. It's heavy because of the wrath of God is in it, and it's grievous for the prophet to carry. Isaiah's message involved the destruction of cities and the slaughter of literally thousands of men and women, boys and girls, was going to be slaughtered and killed. So the message that he brought to him, brought to Moab, he had the burden of carrying that message to him. And I want to say this as we begin the study, and I want to say this when we're dealing with pastors. Pastors oftentimes carry a heavy burden. The message that God gives him to bring to the people, he sees the sin. He sees sometimes the things that people are into or involved with, and sometimes the pastor don't even see that, but yet God gives him a message, and that message carries such a heavy burden. I myself have been heavy burdened at times over the message that God has given me to preach, and it's not easy to carry that burden. It feels like a Mack truck sitting on your chest, and I mean, it's just hard to explain to you, but it's a heavy, heavy burden. And sometimes whenever a pastor comes to church, and I may have done this myself, I try to cover that up. I don't want people to know that I'm carrying such a burden, but sometimes you'll talk to me, you'll say things to me, and I literally do not understand or focus on what you're saying because I'm under such a heavy burden. God has burdened me so much with a message, and I have to get that delivered. I've got to make that happen. I've got to get it delivered. And once I deliver the message, that burden is lifted and I'm able to focus and we can talk, you know, about whatever it is that we was talking about to start with, that I have no idea what you said. So if that ever happens, don't think that I'm ignoring you and I don't want to talk to you. That's not the case. There's times when God burdens me with a message and I have to get that delivered. And there's nothing else on my mind. There's nothing else I'm even concerned with until God allows me and time allows me to deliver the message. Amen. And so that's what Isaiah was dealing with. Isaiah had a message, and he was burdened with. He had nine different times he had messages he had to deliver to these different nations, and he's dealing with Moab and bringing a message to Moab, a message of judgment and a message of destruction, of vast devastation. And so we see here, let me just give you a few facts about Moab to begin with. And we're looking at the nation of Moab, some facts to introduce us to this ancient land and its people. Moab didn't have a good start. Moab is the result of drunkenness and lasciviousness. I think I pronounced that right. Of Lot. Lot was drunk, and Lot done some things in his drunkenness and in his lasciviousness, amen, that created what we have as the nation Moab. Now, that big word that I just used, lasciviousness, is a term referring to immorality. It especially refers to excess and lack of restraint, shameless conduct. It could be identified as the stirring up of lustful desires which cannot be satisfied within God's boundaries. So I don't have to get into any more detail. You know what took place. A little word called incest between Lot and his daughters. The word is also translated as filthy in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, and wantonness in Romans chapter 13, verse 13, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. So the Moabites were the product of Lot's incest with his daughter. So they didn't have a very good start. They're starting off already on the wrong foot, just in how they came about. So Moab has some significant mentions, though, in Scripture, and I'm going to share three of those with you tonight. As we look at Moab, and think with me, if you would, while we're studying this, and I'm not really, I don't guess it's really a preaching message. It's more teaching than it is preaching. But we need to understand who Moab is, where they came from, and some things in Scripture that took place. Moab does have some significance in Scripture. There's one significance that we talk about in Scripture, and that was the hiring of the prophet Balaam to curse Israel in Numbers chapter 22. I don't know if you've ever read that or not. But they hired a false prophet to curse, or the prophet Balaam. They hired him to curse Israel, to cast a curse upon Israel. Numbers chapter 22. This was before Israel went into the land of Canaan with Joshua. And so there's one of the times that Moab did something that's written down in Scripture, and it's significant to Moab. But there's another one, and I think you probably know this one more than you do about that one. It's in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth mentions there is one by the name of Elimelech. Y'all remember Elimelech in the book of Ruth? Significant that he went to sojourn in the land of Moab. There was a famine in the land of Jerusalem, and God had sent a famine to the land. Moab and his children, his wife and children, left Jerusalem and went down to Moab to sojourn there when the famine was in the land. That he was out of the will of God. That's a total another message. I'm not going to get into that. He was out of the will of God. And what took place was not God's plan for all that to take place the way it did. But God used that. God used that. And watch what happened. The land of Moab is where Elimelech went to sojourn because there was a famine in Jerusalem. Now his two sons, Elimelech's two sons, took them wives, the Bible says in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, took them wives of the women of Moab. Does anybody know who one of those women might have been? Ruth. It's in the book of Ruth. Yes. Ruth was one of those women. Ruth eventually became the bride of Boaz. Which Ruth and Boaz became the great-grandparents of David. How about that? Significance in the Scripture. So Moab has some significance, some that we're more familiar with. But anyway, we'll move on with this. But I want to share with you the third one. Significance that we find in the book of Judges is the third mention is their hostility towards Israel. When Israel was heading to Canaan land, there were several other nations and people that wouldn't allow them to pass through. But Moab was one of those people. They would not allow the Israelites to travel through their land when they was going to Canaan. And so they was hostile towards Israel. Now I want to say this tonight, and you know this as well as I do, according to the Word of God, any nation that is hostile toward Israel is in trouble. Amen. Any nation that is hostile toward Israel is in trouble. Amen. Israel is God's chosen nation. Amen. God's chosen people, the Jews. And if you go against them, you're in trouble. Amen. And we see that here. We see that Moab was one of the things that they'd done was they were against the children of Israel. And they was hateful toward them. They was mean toward them. And they would not allow them to pass through their land. Judges chapter 11, verse 17. Now, Moab also had an idol god. Their idol god was called, and if I don't pronounce this right, forgive me, but Chemosh. C-H-E-M-O-S-H. Chemosh was their idol god. That's the god that was their national deity for the nation. It was their idol god. It was an awful religion. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 7. Their religion, which called for the throwing their young babies into the fire to satisfy their god. That was their religion, to sacrifice their babies. Amen. Y'all with me? The sacrifice, that was the religion that they had. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, Jehovah God, their true God, said to the Israelites, "Thou shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire." So we see that Moab was wicked in their religion. Their national deity was a false god, and they would do ridiculous things, if you want my opinion, amen, and sacrificing their own babies and their children to this false god. So Moab was wicked. It was wicked. It was a wicked nation. It was a nation that was against Israel. It was a nation that served a false god. And it was a nation that, listen, that God had to get their attention. And God used that one in Moab. You think of Moab, you think of Ruth coming out of Moab. How could anything at all in such devastation and such a false religion and all that they're in, how could anything good come out of Moab? Well, Ruth came out of Moab. What did Ruth say to Naomi? If you go back to the book of Ruth and read it, Ruth said to Naomi, "I want to serve your God. I want to be with you and your people and your God. That's where I want to go." That's what Ruth knew. She realized that the religion she was in was false and fake, and it was not of God. She wanted to know the true God of heaven. Amen. So she repented of her sins and got right with God. Amen. And began to worship the true, amen, and holy God. And so Moab is a wicked nation. And so God is dealing with Moab. This the burden that Isaiah is carrying. And he's got to deliver this burden to Moab. The verse number 8 of chapter 15, the Bible says, "For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab." There's howling, and there's howling, and there's crying, and there's weeping. You look through the scriptures here, and I'm not going to read all these verses tonight in these two chapters, but you look through them, you'll find is over 14 different times you find the words weeping and howling and crying and sackcloth. And listen, they was going to be such devastation coming to the nation of Moab. God was going to literally destroy it where they would not ever be another Moab. God was just going to wipe it off the face of the earth. The burden of Moab was a message of very great judgment. The phrase, if you'll notice with me in verse number 1, the phrase "in the night" describes the time when judgment came upon Moab. It was going to come suddenly. Sudden destruction was coming upon Moab. Man, there's so much we can glean from this these passages of Scripture, these chapters of the Scriptures tonight. There's much we can glean from. Sudden destruction was coming upon Moab. The reason why it was so sudden was because of their stubborn, rebellious ways. God had given them plenty of time and many warnings to turn from their wickedness and repent, yet they would not do that. And so the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1, "He that being often reproved," or often, listen, told that you're doing wrong, you need to repent, "often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy." And so Moab had gotten to the place where there's no remedy. There's no remedy for Moab. It's judgment time. I said this before and I'm going to say it again. There comes a time when it's not time for revival, but it's time for judgment. Amen? And America is very close. America is very, very close to judgment. Listen, I'm not trying to be no fortune teller or anything like that, but I do want to say this. My Bible teaches me that a city without walls is a disgrace. Amen. Nehemiah was burdened over his city. He asked about the Jews as they returned from Jerusalem to go back into the temple. And he asked about the city. How's my people doing in Jerusalem? And the response he got was that the walls were still broken down. That's a disgrace. The book of Proverbs talks about a city without walls. That's a disgrace. What happened the other day is a disgrace in the United States of America. Amen. When the borders are let down and let all the refugees and all the terrorists and everybody else that they want to come across our borders, that's a disgrace. America tonight, my friend, is a disgrace. Amen. It's not a graceful place to live in. It's a nation that is a disgrace. Other nations was talking about it on the news and around the world. Other nations are talking about how immature and how irresponsible our president is. And any nation that would lower their walls down to let anybody they want to in, that's asking for trouble. Amen. You're asking for trouble. We're a disgrace tonight. Not the Christian. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the Christian is a disgrace. But America in itself is a disgrace tonight because we have let down our guards, amen, and let down the walls around our nation and let everything that wants to come in, come in. And they do it under the disguise of widows and orphans. My friend, you go out into the streets of the United States, anywhere you want to go tonight, you'll find some orphans. Amen. American orphans. You'll find American widows that needs help, that needs food, that needs clothes, that needs, listen, somebody to love them and care for them. And they're going under the skies of these widows and these orphans and letting them come in. Listen, when the other nations look at us and say, your nation is foolish for doing what you're doing, allowing those refugees to come in, we're in trouble. Amen. We're in trouble. We're a nation that's a disgrace tonight. The Bible teaches us that we are to have borders and walls and guard ourselves. What we need to do as Christians tonight is guard ourselves, amen, and stand for what's right. Someone made the statement the other day, man, I was 100% for it. I don't remember who said it. I didn't write it down. But somebody said they need to take the nation away from the Muslims and the idiots and give it back to the Christians and allow the Christians to run the nation once again. Amen. I second that motion. Amen. The nation was a whole lot better off when the Christians run this nation. I get a little fired up about that, and I don't apologize for that. Amen. We started, this nation was founded on Christian principles. Amen. It was founded, and our entire every one of our forefathers that founded this nation said there was a greater power, there was a higher power, that was God Almighty, and the thinking president we have now denies him and allows other nations to come in to deny our God and say that he's not real. And listen, we need to get back to serving him to show them our God is a real God and he's still on the throne. Amen. And he still has power. Amen. I feel better now. Let me move on. Judgment of Moab was devastating. I'm saying all that to say this. We had a nation that once was a Christian nation that's turning their back on God. And the Christians of this nation, listen, we've got to stand. We are not ever to bow down to any false god. We're never to give in to their false religions. I said this before, I'll say it again, it'll go worldwide. I will never bow to a false god. I'll not do it. Amen. My God's being too good to me. My God said, my grace is sufficient. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll be with you no matter what takes place. I know my God can deliver me in whatever circumstance I'm in. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Amen. If you don't believe that tonight, friend, you need to read your Bible and study the Word of God that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think. Amen. He will take care of his children. We see this false god that Moab served. And here's a prime example of a nation that's serving a false god and will not repent and turn from their wicked ways. And God deals with that in judgment. Now, God is a gracious God and a loving God. And He's a merciful God. And He's not out to be a mean and a wicked God. That's not the God that we serve. God, Jehovah's a loving God. And He loves, the people. And He wants everybody to repent of their sin. And therefore, He gives them opportunity. Let me share with you real quickly. I want to share this with you. There's at least 14 times now there's references to the lamentation of the nation of Moab. 14 different references, weeping and wailing and baldness and sackcloth and howling and crying. If the people of Moab would weep over their sinfulness, they wouldn't have to be weeping over their judgment.
Amen. That's good stuff right there. If the people of America would weep and howl and cry over their sinfulness, they won't have to weep over their judgment. The people fled to the temples and they cried to their gods. And you'll find in these chapters and verses of these two chapters, they would cry to their gods, but there was no avail. Because their gods wasn't real. Amen. Three things real quickly about Moab I want to give you. First of all, the counsel for Moab. Look with me, chapter 16, verse number 1. Chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says there, "Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness and to the mount of the daughter of Zion." In chapter 16, verse number 1, Moab was given some counsel. So first thing I want to show you is the counsel for Moab. They were given some advice and some counsel about how to treat Israel. I sure hope this goes worldwide, and I hope our president hears this, amen, how they were supposed to treat Israel. Their attitude toward Israel had to change. When Israel was coming and going to Canaan land, they did not want them passing through their land. They did not want to have anything to do with them. They was hostile towards Israel. So the counsel that God has sent to them through the prophet Isaiah is your attitude toward my people has got to change. Amen? That's what God was telling them. Their attitude had to change. Moab was to be a refuge for the Israelites who were suffering from the attacks of the enemy. Now listen, Moab was to be a refuge for the Israelites as they were passing through. Moab was to accept them and allow them, amen, to come in to find a place of refuge. Moab was to be a shadow or a shelter from the heat of the sun. It was to be a place that the Israelites could find refuge. That's counsel that God gave to Moab. Change your attitude toward my people, amen. Then not only do we see the counsel for Moab, but we see the curse on Moab. Look with me, verse number 6 of chapter 16, if you would. "When they heard of the pride of Moab, he is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so." Who do you remember, as we preached a few weeks ago, who do you remember is full of pride? Who's behind pride? Haughtiness. The devil, Satan himself, amen, his haughtiness and his pride and his wickedness. Here we see that Moab, the Bible says, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He's very proud. And they were so proud, they would not repent of their sin. Moab didn't heed the counsel and the advice that was given them, but yet they rejected that. And so the curse of judgment was prophesied for them. The curse of judgment was prophesied that it was going to come on them because of their pride, their anger, their lying, their wicked ways. Listen, it was coming. The curse on Moab was the judgment to come. They had canceled, they changed their attitude toward God's people, be a refuge for God's people. They did not heed that. They did not listen to that. They were still prideful. They were still angry. They were still hateful. And listen, doing their false religion and serving their false God. And God says, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. The curse was, listen, it was put on Moab that the judgment is going to come. Now let me say this. Isaiah truly, as he's preaching this burden, Isaiah truly wanted to see Moab repent of their sin. It's always, I believe in my heart, if he's the man of God at all, it's the man of God's desire, it's the man of God's will and hope, amen, that the people that he's preaching to will hear what he's saying and hear the counsel from God and will repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways and serve the Lord, amen. That's always my desire when I preach and people understand the Word of God. They hear the words coming out of my mouth and they hear the Word of God, not so much the preacher, but the message, amen. And they hear that, and it's always my desire that they turn from their wicked ways and they serve the Lord with gladness and stop doing what they're doing. That was Isaiah's burden, amen. He was delivering the burden. He was preaching to them, and his hope was they would turn from their sin and begin to love on God's people and change their ways and serve God Jehovah. What did I preach the other night? Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Guess what happened to Isaiah? Isaiah was heart sick. He was heart sick because he preached the message and they would not repent. No doubt he was heart sick. The nation of Moab. I can just picture this in my mind. Isaiah there as he's preaching this and telling them that judgment's coming if you don't repent. I can just imagine whenever judgment came. If they'd have only listened. If they'd only listened. Man, I've stood behind this pulpit myself and preached my heart out. And people have, I know God was speaking to their heart. God was dealing with them. God was dealing with their sin. And they'd walk out the door. They'd walk out the door and turn a deaf ear to what God had said. And I've watched that happen, and I've seen their lives be devastated because judgment was sent on their life. Listen, it's our desire, amen, to see people repent of their sin. That's Isaiah's desire as he's preaching to this nation. He wanted them to repent. His heart hurt for them. But the curse was on Moab. Real quickly, I'm going to give you this, the caution for Moab. Look with me, if you would, in verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13 and verse 14, real quickly. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord hath spoken, saying, watch this now, within 3 years, as the years of a hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be contemned, and with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. Now the word of the Lord came, and it said, within 3 years, here's the caution for Moab. It's one thing to hear a message of judgment's coming. It's another thing when God puts a timeline on that judgment. Amen. We as Christians do not know when the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Some people have tried to put a time on that, but nobody knows when the Son of Man cometh. The devil himself don't even know when the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Jesus himself don't even know when he's coming. Only God knows that. But here is a message that Isaiah has preached to the nation, and God has put a timeline on it and says this is going to happen in 3 years. And then he gives an example there and begins to deal with a hireling. I don't know if you know what a hireling is or not. A hireling is one, the Bible speaks of pastors are not to be hirelings. Amen. It's one that will not work 1 second past the time he's supposed to work. He won't give anything over the time he's supposed to work. Amen. And expects full pay. Amen. That's a hireling. The pastors are not supposed to be a hireling. Because there's a lot of times you don't get reimbursed or you don't get paid for all those hours that you put in. Amen. And listen, it's not about the money anyway. Amen. But the man of God has to have money to live. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not throwing off on that. We have to have money to live. Have to have money to survive. But it's those that won't do 1 ounce over and above the call of duty. That's a hireling. Amen. And so God relates that to the timeline he's given to Moab. Listen, let me read my notes. Moab had heard the warning, repent, for a long time. Isaiah had preached that they have heard this warning. And God always warns before judgment. But people often ignore the warning. They ignore that. And then when judgment comes and it's devastating attack, the people act like they're surprised. Isn't that amazing? In verse 14, God gives them time to repent. He gives them a time frame. In 3 years, this is going to happen. A hireling would not work one hour over his time, and the master would not permit the hireling to work 1 moment past or less than agreed. So the time of 3 years will be exact. God's going to send judgment in exactly 3 years. God was merciful. God wasn't a hateful God. He wasn't a mean God. God was merciful and gave them time to repent. And put a timeline on it. And even use the hireling. So they would know in exactly this time God was going to send judgment. And so God's a merciful God. And that's all I'm going to give you tonight as far as dealing with the nation of Moab. I think that's a good start for us tonight. Get us kind of our interest maybe whetted tonight. Whetted, I don't know if that's a good word or not, but anyway. Get our interest up or spiked for the study in the book of Isaiah. But Moab was a wicked nation, and God had dealt with them and gave them the prophet to preach to them that judgment was coming. And all you have to do is return to the Jehovah God, repent of your sins and get your heart right with God and turn from your wicked ways. And listen, God would have changed. The judgment wouldn't have came if they had just took heed to the caution, and the curse wouldn't have been pronounced upon them. But they refused to listen to God. They refused, so judgment came. We'll study a little later. Judgment came. Moab was wiped out. Amen. You go over to Jordan now where Jordan is, and there's not a Moab there. There's some remains that some architects have found, and archaeologists, I can't even say that stuff, but these guys that dig in the dirt, amen. They go over and they find this stone that they say was part of Moab. And they dig it up, and now it's in a museum in France since the 1800s. They say that it is part of the nation of Moab.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But Moab itself was destroyed. God destroyed the nation because of their wickedness and their false religion. Listen, that gives us hope tonight, amen? We know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know Jehovah God is the true God, amen? And we stand for Him. We live for Him. He's going to take care of us, amen? Nothing was to happen to the children of Israel. The children of Israel were to be protected. They were to be, listen, Moab was to bring them in and let Moab be a place of refuge. God was taking care of His people. But they refused to listen. God's people, listen, God's people can rest assured tonight, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. On this wicked world that we're living in, on all the ungodliness and all the mess that's going on around us, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. It's our duty, you and I duty, amen, to pronounce judgment's coming. You better get your heart right with God. Brother Nelson, and I was thinking about that song when I studied tonight, A Little Black Train. The Bible doesn't say nothing about a black train, but that black represents judgment, amen? Judgment's coming. It's on its way. And America needs to wake up. And we need to tell them Jesus Christ is on His way, amen? Whenever the rapture of the church takes place, honey, it's too late. It's too late. The Bible teaches, and the message to Moab was sudden destruction because of their rebellion, because of their wickedness, sudden destruction was coming. When Jesus Christ comes and takes us out of here, sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. Tribulation period begins and destruction starts on this world. Amen? So I hope this is encouraging to you and a help to you tonight, understanding what Moab is, the burden that Isaiah carried, such a burden that this prophet carried to preach to Moab. And of course he did to Babylon, and now this is the second time he's having to preach to Moab, such a wicked nation, and they would not repent, and he was literally heart sick because of what he saw and what he felt there in their rebellion against God. Hope it's a help to you tonight. And God's dealing in judgment. Boy, now, in these days we're living in, we're seeing how people are rebelling against a true God, turning their backs on a true God. And we absolutely cannot. We absolutely cannot do that. Amen. We've got to stand for God. Let's pray.